Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
David said to me last night, he said, John, I want to speak from the word of God from the pulpit. So I'm going to ask him to come up front briefly before you get to the pulpit, David. I'm going to just talk to you about Maasai land and Kenya. We were singing just now about what... Is your microphone on? You were singing about what a faithful God we have. David has known God's faithfulness in his own ministry, and what's happening in Maasai land is very encouraging. Just tell me about how many churches you're responsible to for as the leader currently of that work. How many congregations are there?
Currently, I'm in charge of 280 churches for now. Although last year there were 200, but we were able to start another 80 churches in between last November and this November.
It's amazing, the gospel going out with Maasai people who were really bound to witchcraft for many, many years and some very strange and destructive customs. Now you're involved, David, both in social care, but also above all, you're a gospel man. When they asked you to go into the government at one stage, you said, no, I'm a preacher, I'm not a politician. And you stayed at that very faithfully. Just say what you're doing for people on food and education and health care.
Right. Sometimes when we go through a lot of long time of famine and drought, we tend to do a feeding program where we buy food and, of course, buy water from our nearest town and take it to the interior part of Maasai land to be able to give out food and water. But I just want to mention and thank you so much for the borehole that was funded from this church which is now helping a group of Maasai people who live in a place called Loita Plains. And as they come to drink their water, we have an opportunity to tell them about God. We also run our own schools. We have about 8 primary schools. And we do also run a sponsorship program to help children who cannot be able to afford going to school.
And just say what happens with the nomadic shepherds as they arrive at the waterhole to get water themselves and their animals. What's your agreement with your pastors there? What do you say to them?
Now, when you funded that borehole, a big group of the Maasai from different places came to settle around the borehole so that they can be able to access that water. And because there's no church there and there's nobody to actually share the gospel with them, we started a program that has to do with reaching the shepherd who normally comes and bring their animals, drink that water. And we did say to them, one of the conditions that you have to get this water or your animals drink this water is for them to give us at least half an hour for one of our pastors to gather all of them together and preach to them. And many of them have become Christians. And now we have an evangelist moving on with them every day, nurturing them in God's word. And thus we have a kind of a mobile church without a building.
Fantastic. We are so wedded to buildings in this country. Just also very sad about Northern Kenya. And just tell me what you heard from home about those people who were shot in the head at Point Blank Range, coming down from Lake Turkana, where I've been. It's very barren up there. Just say how they chosen the people who were killed?
I think the Al-Shabaab, some guys from the Al-Shabaab got into this big bus and it was full of people and it was traveling from one area to another. And as they got into the bus, they were asking people to mention some words in the Quran and be able to submit themselves to the teachings of the Quran. And about 30 people said no, because they were Christians, and those who said no, they were just killed right there.
It brings you up short, doesn't it, how costly it is for Christian brothers and sisters in Africa. And just one other thing before we let you preach, just talk about FGM, because there's a thing called female genital mutilation. It has terrible effects. David was saying to me last night that a 13-year-old girl he knew died just recently because of that. It is a most iniquitous thing to do to young women. But explain what you're doing, because we've, on Harvest, took our offering and it's gone to help provide the dining room and what's needed there. But tell us about what you're doing with your team to help those women who are so traumatized and damaged physically and mentally by FGM.
Female circumcision is something very strong among the Maasai tribe. And November and December every year are the months that the parents will take the long school holiday to be able to circumcise the girls, so that by January they will be able to give them for marriage. And we have tried a lot. Every year we tried a lot to be able to rescue some of these girls. Some of them will, when they learn that they are just about to be circumcised, they'll run away from home. And in this case, then we would be able to take them and hide them somewhere so that their parents will not be able to force them to get married, force them to undergo FGM. But we were able to get a plot in Narok Town and we have built a rescue center. We have finished our first dormitory that takes about that 6 girls. And we've just finished a dining hall. We have a manager and a matron and a cook and a watchman who looks after them. And I just want to say thank you so much that recently we received some money from this church that helped us finish some part of the dining that was not completed. So I want to thank you on behalf of those girls.
Well, thank you for coming to us today, David. But
thank you.
Let's let you go to the pulpit and you can pray for us and explain God's word to us. We're so glad to have you amongst us.
Thank you.
Go up there, it's the best place. We'll see you there.
Thanks. I want to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and read verse 1 and 2. The Bible says that the heavens, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Verse 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. For some years back that I've been visiting the United Kingdom, I will always wear a Maasai red suit. And I don't know whether you still remember it. And this time round, I left it back in Kenya. And some friends here were asking me, where did I left my red suit? And I told them that I've left it in Kenya so that it can rest until I go back. That means this morning I would like to share with you something to do with rest. Rest. What is rest? Well, rest is to be still. Rest is to cease from action. Rest is to abstain from movement. And sometimes rest is to lie in sleep. And rest is freedom from activity. And I like the Hebrew word menuah, that means rest is to be in peace. It is to be quiet. And sometimes rest is to lie in death. Well, God had set a very good example for us, as we just, I just read from the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And God has offered rest as a blessing to man. And rest is also a reward to man from his work. Somebody said it's an atonic for the tired and a release from labor. Rest restores and relieves body, mind, and soul overwrought from various burdens. Well, as I said, God has set a good example for us as we think about rest. He himself is the author and the origin of rest. How did he set an example for us? You read the creation of God when God created the heavens and the earth. We see that in day one, God created the light in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. And in day 2, God created the sky in verse 6 and 8 of Genesis 1. And in day 3, God created the earth and vegetation, as we read in verse 9 to 13 of Genesis 1. And in day 4, God created the sun and the moon in verse 14 to 19 of Genesis 1. And in day 5, God created all the living creatures, as we read in verse 20 to 25. And in day 6, God created mankind in verse 26 and 27 of Genesis 1. And therefore, in Genesis 2, God rested. The few minutes that I have, I may want to discuss about physical rest, social rest, and spiritual rest. Well, if I was back in Kenya, I'll spend about 2 hours preaching this sermon. But because I'm here, I'm going to squeeze it to the shortest time I can so that we can be able to understand the word rest. Physical rest. Well, God, in Genesis chapter 2 from verse 15, we read that God had ordained work for man to do. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, He made them to live there and work physically and be able to work in the Garden of Eden, because God has ordained work for us to do. Remember that we always go to work for those who are working. And for those who have retired, thank God that you are not as busy as those who are working now. I remember I used to go to Cornhill training course when I used to stay at Chelsea with John and Camilla. I used to go every morning to London Bridge and walk about 5 minutes. And I used to take a train from South Kensington. And every morning I walk to the train station, I see so many people hurrying, running to work. And in the evening, when I was coming back to Chelsea, I would see many people again, a crowd of people, you know, running to the train station. Some will go and take buses, and they will want to go back home because they have been working the whole day. And when they arrived home, they then relax and rest because they have been tired and working the whole day, because God has ordained a work for us to do. Well, God has also ordained rest for us to take a time to relax from all our work, because we get tired physically. Many times we go out there, we work in our offices, we do hard work, and time to time our bodies will signal that they are tired, that my body will always say, hey, you need time to relax. Why? Because that is how God has created man. He has created us to be able to work. Use our minds, use our bodies, walk to work, use your hands, use your whole being working so that you can earn a living, because God has created man and work for man to do. Well, I kept thinking that maybe before man had fallen in Genesis chapter 3, maybe before then we were not going to work, because sin has not yet come into the life of man. But when man had fallen short of the glory of God in Genesis chapter 3, then our bodies then was, you know, we were changed to a point where we can be able to be tired physically. Well, I remember, you read Mark chapter 6, verses 31, when the disciples were going from one village to another, preaching and sharing the gospel and telling people about the kingdom of God. They became tired physically, and they were unable to move on to the next village unless they were able to take a break from their hard work of telling people about Christ. And many people were opposing their message, and they became so much tired, and they were able to relax somewhere because they were tired physically. Well, in John chapter 4, we also realize that Jesus himself was tired when he was walking. He had a long walk one day, and he sat by the well because physically he was very, very tired. We read in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, that Jesus also rested and slept in the boat when he was with his disciples. And when Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, when he went to Macedonia to preach, and he wanted to find a place to rest after a long day of walking and preaching. And so we get tired physically. I remember one day I was preaching in one village almost a whole day, and there was a lot of opposition to my message, and I had to cross a river to go to the other side and be able to take the gospel to the Maasai's who lived in that side. Well, I preached the whole day, and there was a lot of rain, and the river flooded. So when I was coming back, I was very tired. I wanted to go back to my house and rest and relax, because I had a lot of opposition, and even people wanted to kill me there because they didn't want anything to change their culture, because the Maasai like sticking to their culture. They don't want to change their culture. They are used to their traditions. And so I had preached there. A number of people, very few of them became Christians, and they had to abandon the Maasai culture
and people were very much bitter. You know, they were not happy about the preaching of the gospel. And so I became very, very tired. And by the time I was going back to my house, and I was going to cross that river, and I found that the river was totally flooded. There was no way I could cross to go to my house, and there was no bridge. And so I was so much tired. It was around 7. It was almost getting dark. And beside the river, both sides, there was a big bush, and there were wild animals around there. And I was a little bit frightened, and I thought, oh, what am I going to do? Well, I turned to God, and I told God, God, I'm very tired. You know that I've been preaching the whole day, and I'm supposed to go and rest. I'm supposed to go back to my house and relax and gain new strength for tomorrow. And it was really hard because I couldn't go. And I couldn't go back to where I went to preach because those people were really opposed to the gospel. And though they never wanted to see me back, and I couldn't go to my house because the river was flooded. Well, I turned to God once again, and I pleaded to God, and I told God, God, you know that I'm very tired. I need rest. And it's hard for me to rest here. I want to go to my house. And when I was praying, and I completed my prayer, I said, in Jesus' name I pray, I found myself on the other side of the river where I wanted to go. Nobody had pushed me, but I just found myself on the other side of the river. And I rested for some time, and I was so much overwhelmed by what God did, by taking me without pushing me, without carrying me. I just prayed for about a minute, and I found myself on the other side of the river. And I told God, thank you, Lord. Now I can go to my house and rest. When I arrived at the house, I was very, very tired. And I just found myself sitting in one of my seats, and I didn't realize that within a short time, I slept because I was very, very tired physically. We get tired physically, and we need to rest. We need to create some time to rest. And that is why many people in this part of the world will create some time to go for holiday, because you need to go away from what you are used to. You need to get a break. You need to get a rest. You need to go to a different place so that you can come back refreshed and ready to move on with your work. And so we need physical rest, social rest. Sometimes you find a community or a tribe or a country becoming so much tired on what is happening around. Well, I remember, what's happening back in Kenya. A lot of killings along the most dominated, places where they are being dominated by Muslims. And they kill people a lot. And I just want to say in this point that a country like Kenya, a country like Somalia, need to rest. Because there are a number of things, many things, that are going on in these countries. Not only those two countries that I've mentioned, but many other countries. People are getting tired of many things that are happening in our countries. And we need to pray that our locations, our communities, our countries, our continents can be able to come to a point where we can rest, because there are so many things going on that makes us tired, makes us to think, makes us to really feel as if life is becoming meaningless, because we are going through a lot of hardships, a lot of challenges in life, and it is time that we need to rest. I mean, rest even from enemies, which can mean peace and freedom from war. Well, let me say something about spiritual rest. We read it, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11, I want us to read verse 28 and 29 and finish with 30. Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary
and burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, verse 29, upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is Jesus calling us for rest. He's calling us, he's saying, you who are heavy laden, we who are weary, Jesus is saying today that he can offer rest to all of us if we only come to him, and we can be able to rest from our souls, rest from our sins, rest from our daily problems, and rest from our family problems. Jesus is calling you and I to rest, to return to him and rest. I know today we are remembering the second advent, the second coming of Christ. When I was in Lincoln 2 days ago, I talked about that Jesus is coming anytime. And every time when I, you know, after having dinner with my family, my wife and children, I will always tell them before we go to bed that I will we say good night and see you tomorrow if Jesus doesn't come back tonight. Because Jesus is coming any time. That is why today we think and remember his second coming. Why is he coming? He's coming to bring our final rest. When we went for the baptism outside there, and then we were coming back, I saw the compound of the church, and I saw a number of graves. And I remember that a time will come where we will be able to rest, and we will be laid down to rest somewhere, and our bodies will be able to be very tired to a point where we will be able to go, and our bodies will be laid somewhere to rest, to await for the second coming of Christ, so that we can be able to be resurrected again and enter into the final rest that Christ has gone to prepare for us. That means we are not going to be in this world forever. And so I'd like to say at this point that Christ is calling us to rest. We need to go to him to rest. And we just read in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is telling us to work hard so that we can be able to enter into his rest. Let us therefore strive, in Hebrews chapter 4, where we just read, to enter into God's rest, because his promise of rest still stands. I want to go there and rest forever. And many people will get scared when you talk about going home. We sang the Amazing Grace, and there was a place that says John, the writer, said to come home. I'm ready to come, to go home. Those that have gone ahead of us are now resting. They are not going through what we are going through in life now. They are resting. Although we are scared, some people will be scared if you talk about resting in death, going to God and just rest in him. But this time round, when we are still alive, we need to go to God and rest. I don't know what kind of problems you're going through, maybe individually, in a family setup, but God would like you and I to take that is troubling me and you to him and rest in him. Take, for example, I may be sick, and this sickness has been sitting on me for a long time. I've been going to hospital. I've been attended by doctors. It has become a burden. I cannot take it out. It is too heavy for me to bear. I mean, I would like to advise you and I that I need to take it to God, to Jesus, and rest it with Jesus.
because God is minding so much about us, the way we are. And he knows what we are going through. Maybe I'm going through a family problem. It has been a burden. It has been too heavy to bear it. But friends, let me encourage you that the moment you take it to God in prayer and go to God and take it to him and tell Jesus, I have bring it. It's too much for me. I'm giving it to you. And because he said in Matthew chapter 11, you come, bring it to me, and I'll give you rest. And you'll rest from it. And God will be able to bless you. Thank you so much.